we are going to fly through some stuff because whether you like it or not, we are going to deal with some science. All right? We're going to deal with some science. Now you will not get graded. Shh, please, can I have your attention? We got to move. So if I can, can I have attention, please? So we're going to deal with some scientific stuff tonight, all right? So as we go through these things, you will not get quizzed at the end. No one's going to be asking you for your handout of what you took notes on. But I want you to be able to follow with me. Now, I like science. I do. I wasn't graded it in school. My grade did not reflect it. My grade did not reflect it. But I would ask that you would pay attention as I go through it because we're going to bring it at the end to a closing statement that I want you to get. Because there has been scientific studies done on the brain and how the brain is affected and what affects the brain and how it affects the brain. And so tonight we are going to talk about music theory 101. Now we will not talk about treble clef. We'll not talk about bass clef. We're not going to talk about an eighth note or a third note or any of those things. What we're going to talk about tonight is the theory of your music. What you listen to on the daily. What you listen to every day. Because if you want to admit it or not, your generation is filled with music. You always have to have earbuds in. You always have to have headphones on. You always have to have something playing. If you were to sit in a car without music playing, it would be incredibly awkward because we have to have some sort of brain stimulant at all times. And so for a lot of us, because it's easy, we have music or we have YouTube videos or whatever. We have something all the time going so that it would stimulate our brain. Well, there are certain parts of our brain that I want to talk about tonight. This is not for me. I did some of this research, but primarily this is from a guy. We actually watched this video in the sponsors meeting, but there's some study based on three different parts of the brain and how things affect it. Now, there's other stuff I'll refer to that's not his. With a guy named Mark O, his name is like Ostrite is the last name, but he goes by Mark O, and he put a lot of this to paper, but I'm just kind of copying some of that, and then we'll go into how it affects us here tonight. So I want everybody to put your hand on the front of your head like this. Okay, that's your prefrontal cortex. You can go ahead and hit to the slide. So as you can see up here in the brain, this part here is your prefrontal cortex. Now, your prefrontal cortex, okay, listen, I'm not giving you a quiz. Y'all chill. I'm not giving you a quiz. So the prefrontal cortex is what deals with your decision-making. It's what deals with your impulse, your priorities, all that different stuff. That's what deals with all of those things. Now, in the span of probably about 10 years old to 18 years old, your brain goes through a rewiring process where it's getting rid of some things and stabilizing some things. And so your prefrontal cortex is going to house most of your impulse reactions. It's going to deal with your decision-making, wisdom, all those different things, empathy and risk management. All of that is going to be up here. Okay, now, the other part of the brain we're talking about is the amygdala. Go ahead to the next slide. The amygdala is this little almond shaped substance here. You got the hippocampus here, the hypothalamus here. So this is the amygdala, okay? So the amygdala is a little part of your brain that deals with fear, okay? It's what houses fear. Now, a little bit of anger, yes, but fear most importantly. So what you've got is you've got this prefrontal cortex that is always telling you based off of your impulse to do this and decision-making priorities. Then you've got the amygdala back here who is saying, no, wait, that's a little scary. Let's not do that. Now, in between those two, don't go to the slide yet, but in between those two, we have something called the anterior cingulate, okay? We're going to talk about it in a second, but in between the two. Now, I want you to get how these things affect your view of God, because if you have an overdeveloped prefrontal cortex, then your idea of God will be a list of facts. It'll be a list of do's and don'ts. It'll be religion. If you have an overdeveloped amygdala, it'll be fear of God. Well, he's just this angry guy who's always wanting to punish people. And so there's this battle between the prefrontal cortex and the amygdala, and then enters the hero. Go ahead, do it. We have got the anterior cingulate. Now it's cortex, but it is right here. It's behind here, and it's before the amygdala. So it's this buffer zone. And what Marco talks about is that if we strengthen and overdevelop or develop this anterior cingulate, what it does is it helps balance between the prefrontal cortex and balance between the amygdala so that you don't have too strong here and too strong there. You've got a solid down the line. Now let me tell you what that means as far as spiritually. Then we're going to talk about how music plays into it. So How that affects is if over here God is just a list of facts, there's no passion, there's no desire, it's just, I came to church, read my Bible, I did this, I did that, God's happy. And that's it, okay? That's what's over here. If all it is emotion and, oh, I have to feel God for him to be here. I don't feel him. Am I saved anymore? It's all emotional over here. And if there's nothing to bridge that gap, you're left with one of two things that don't help your life to follow after Christ the way it was designed to be. What it's designed to be is for us to understand that God is compassionate. He is loving. There is emotion with God. God feels happiness. God feels joy. God feels anger. God feels all of these things. In fact, it talks about being angry and sin, not a sinful anger, but a righteous anger that God feels. So God understands the emotions of it. So don't put him over here and say, God's this and this and this and this without understanding and without getting this side of it. Well, that's what an anterior cingulate helps with. Okay, look at Philippians 4:8. If you don't got your Bible, if you do not have your Bible, I will read it to you. Philippians 4 and verse 8. This is one of those passages of scripture that I have memorized, but every time I try and quote it, I mix everything up in it because there's a bunch of lists. So Philippians 4 and verse 8, this is what he says. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So Paul tells us that we're supposed to meditate on things that are true, lovely, just, all this difference, noble, all of these different things. So question right off the bat, does your music line up? Now, I am not saying that it always has to be K-Love on in the car, okay? I'm not saying that it always has to be Christian music. I read through and listened and watched the music video for Billboard Top 20 just this last week, okay? There are a couple in there. Thunder by Imagine Dragons. It's not really like, it doesn't dishonor God, okay? There's nothing in there about sex. There's nothing in there about like chugging alcohol and partying it up. Let me tell you what, some of the songs that are on the top 20 are just god-awful terrible. But some of them are just, if you put it in the lens of scripture, it's all right. There's three of them that I can remember from the top 20 that would actually fit within the lens. I'd say, that's not that big of a deal. It doesn't dishonor God, so I'm not gonna say anything about it. But the other ones, if you put it through the lens of scripture, will help you understand that it does not honor God. So I know you're thinking, we talked about the brain, and now we're talking about music in Philippians 4:8. How do we get the two here? The way you strengthen your anterior cingulate is by 8 to 10 minutes of meditation, of hopeful reflection, of prayer, and of faith-based singing. Those are the way you strengthen your anterior cingulate. So, if your music overdevelops your prefrontal cortex, and by that I mean when your music plays, you can conquer the world. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'll be walking through some stores sometimes, and just the beat of some music, I'm like, what you looking at? You know what I'm saying? Like, you just automatically feel like you're invincible, right? And some of you know, that's why they play them at sports. That's why the intro music isn't like, you know, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. You know, it's more different music than that. So you walk in and be like, what you looking at? And then you get stomped by 30, okay? So that's they play that music to hit the prefrontal cortex where you say, oh, I'm going to conquer the world. And then you've got ones over here, God help you, Ed Sheeran, who... and it's all emotional and I just love that. And it's all emotional over here. Okay, so if you're overdeveloping your prefrontal cortex, you are not walking the Christian faith as you should be. If you're overdeveloping the amygdala, you are not walking the Christian faith, Stephen, as you should be. So as we go down these lines, there's got to be a balance of it. Well, the balance is said scientifically to be faith-based singing, to be hopeful reflection, meditation, prayer, singing, all those different things. Okay, so here's the three questions on your outline to help you. If your music will help to develop your anterior cingulate, then it's music to keep. Okay, I'm not going to tell you what songs. If it's music that lines up with Philippians 4:8, which means it helps develop that anterior cingulate, then it's something you should keep. Number one, does your music help or hinder your prayers? Now, some of you are like, well, I listen to a song and I feel like I have to pray to God for forgiveness, so I guess it helps. But I'm talking about after you listen to a song, does that song drive you or does it help you in your prayer life with God? Does it help you want to communicate with him or does it make you feel farther away? Because some of the songs on the radio don't make you feel like you want to be closer to God. They make you feel like you're God yourself. So it doesn't draw you closer. It in fact drives a wedge in between it. So you have to ask yourself, if it lines up with Philippians 4:8, it's going to fulfill that. It's going to help with your prayers. But if your music doesn't, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt you. So does your music feel like make you feel like you need to pray for forgiveness, or does it make it talking with God easier? You got to ask yourself that question. Does your music line up? Number two, does your music help you have hopeful reflection? Does it help you have hopeful reflection? I can tell you what. Some of the songs that I listened to, number one, I just felt like 30,000 times more stupid after I got done listening to it. Like, okay, I'm gonna name one, okay? And it was the dumbest song, Gucci Gang. It is the dumbest song. Yes. No, it's terrible. Plus the fact it talks about sex and all different types of stuff in it, so it certainly does not line up with Philippians 4:8. But it was just a dumb song. Gucci Gang, 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 Gucci Gang. I'm like, what the heck is? It's just literally over and over again. Okay, so does your music help you have hopeful reflection after you listen to it? Does it help you reflect on the goodness of God, or does it make you go, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, and a little bit of drool drops, right? What does your music do? Does it line up with Philippians 4:8? Because if it does, it will help you have hopeful reflection. And by that, I mean this. Some people have reflection. Oh, I'm such a loser. Oh, I ruined my life. Oh, everybody hates me. That's not hopeful. That's not hopeful. Hopeful is looking in the light of who God is and the fact that when you were his foe, still his love fought for you, and saying, because of that, I'm going to hopefully reflect on who God thinks I am and who I am in Christ. That's what we ask the question. Number three, does your music help with faith-based singing? This one's tricky because the way that your anterior cingulate gets developed is not just by listening to Christian music or listening to music that lines up with Philippians 4:8. It's by singing it to yourself. So the reason that we have music down here is not for you to just go, oh, there's music. It's to bring us into a spirit of worship, but it's so that on Thursday morning when you go to school and you're just looking at school like, I don't want to be here. Everywhere I go on this road, high and low, where I go, you go with me. Oh, and as we look into school, we go, God's with me. Okay? These are the reasons we sing this song, is so that as we go, we can have that in our minds. We can sing it to ourselves, because as you develop the anterior cingulate, your walk with Christ gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And why would you put your music through all of these stringent categories? Because, well, music's just fun. I just like the beat. Well, then you don't have a good brain. Okay, if your mindset is, I'm only listening to music because it has a good beat, then you don't understand the intricacies of music. Because music, and the way it was designed by God, by the way, to convey a message. And in the way the beat runs, and in the way the words go, and the way they're mashed together, can either give you hopeful reflection, it can help your prayer life, it can help you with faith-based singing, or it can hit one of the prefrontal cortex or the amygdala and hurt you. So if your music does not line up with Philippians 4:8, then you've missed the point of music. And you've missed the joy of walking and understanding that Christ is compassionate, that he loves you, that when you fail, he's not going, lightning bolt, but he's walking with you going, oh, get back up. Come on, get back up and walk. My son and my daughter, when they first started walking, I've told you this illustration before. As they started walking and they fell, I didn't go, what the heck? You know, and just, I don't even want to own you anymore. This is the third time you've fallen. Okay, I didn't do that. In fact, as Titus took two steps and he fell, it was like, oh my gosh, yeah, did you see him? He walked. He did two steps. That's my son. Okay, that's God. Don't view God as a person going, oh, why did I even make her? Why did I even make him? What is he doing? That's not God. God is a heavenly father who is looking at the steps that you take, and he is proud of you. And yeah, you're going to fall. You're just learning to walk. But as you start to walk more and more, God goes, yeah, come on, keep on coming. Keep on coming. Walk with me. Come on, walk with me. Listen, I'll hold your hand here. Come on, walk with me. I know it's a tough time. Let me hold you through this thing. And God is a father, not your enemy. Not your enemy. So the reason you put your music through this stringent test is because your Heavenly Father is just wanting sweet fellowship with you. And the sweeter you can make it by meditation and by hopeful reflection. I'm not talking about om. I'm talking about meditating on scripture and prayer and faith-based singing. They say 8 to 10 minutes a day. Some of you spend 8 to 10 hours a day on your phone. You can take 8 to 10 minutes and spend it faith-based singing, hopeful reflection, reading God's word, and prayer, and you develop this anterior cingulate that not just in your spiritual walk, but in your walk in general, has proven to make you more compassionate to others. Because if you're ruled by over here, it's impulse and bad decision-making. If you're ruled by over here, it's fear, and so you're scared to talk to people or help them. But in the middle, it gives you more compassion for other people because you understand who God truly is. So I'm asking you tonight to put your music, your theory of music even, through Philippians 4:8 and ask yourself, does it line up? And why would I encourage you to do something like that? Because Jesus is better. Because Jesus is better than what any song can make you feel like in the moment. Jesus is better than what any song means to you in the long run. Jesus is your Heavenly Father who, when you were his foe, he still fought for you. That's Jesus. So put your music through this lens, man. And get on fire for God and strengthen the anterior cingulate. Not just you can say, hey guys, look, my anterior cingulate is strong. Okay, that's not the point. The point is so that as you walk with God, man, the walk gets sweeter. Some of you wonder why you struggle with getting angry all the time. What's your music doing? Is your music feeding into your anger? Is it feeding in over here? Some of you say, well, I just feel like I deserve all these things. Like it's all about me and everybody's always angry at me, but I'm always right. Your impulse and your wisdom are controlled by your prefrontal cortex. So where's your music feeding? Is it helping feed your ability to do this? Or is it feeding these two? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I stand before these teens tonight and I truly want them to get this. Lord, I know that I would say that every Wednesday and every Sunday night and Sunday morning, but God, tonight, we are a society and a age group that is driven by music. Myself included. I have my headphones in every day at work, pretty much the whole day. So Lord, I am driven by music. Would you help all of us, not just me, not just the teens, would you help all of us to make a commitment to put our music through this lens? Does it honor you? Is it true? Is it just? For a lot of the songs out there, is it pure? God, would you help us to put it through this lens so that as we develop this anterior cingulate by praying and by meditation and by faith-based singing for 8 to 10 minutes a day, that God, our relationship with you would get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. So that for the long run, God, we would have a youth group who would proclaim from the mountaintops that Jesus is better than anything this world has to offer. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.